your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, page 674 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the first seven verses. We'll read these verses responsively. Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and in your Scofield Bible, page 674. As is our custom here, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For as my mother, father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, he taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain thy words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Together also on verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And let's pray. Father, this is a miraculous book. From it we, of course, learn of a miraculous kind of salvation. And this is a miracle church. We thank you for that kind of opportunity. There's no better opportunity in the world than what we have right now, right here in this place. And we pray that you'd help us to seize upon the opportunity to hear thy word, to be better for it as Christians, as people. Help us to listen. Help our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was asking the fellows a while ago, the men on the platform, some of them in my office, I was asking them, and I'll ask you also, I won't ask you to say it, but I'd like to know if you know, how many of you know, could give me the name tonight of a famous basketball player in the last 5 years in America? I won't ask you to do it, but if you could, raise your hand. Be honest now. We're up high. You can give me the name of one of them. All right. Thank you. How many could give me the name of a famous baseball player now living? Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Come on. Cooperate now. All right. Thank you. How many could give me the name of a famous golfer? Would you raise your hand? We're up high, please. All right. How many could give me the name of a famous football player in the last few years? Would you raise your hand, please? How many could give me the name of a famous scientist? I'm talking about a famous one now. Talking about somebody known all over the world. All right. That shows the condition of our country. How many can give me the name of a famous... I'm talking about a world famous as these athletes. A world famous doctor. Would you raise your hand, please? All right. That shows you the condition of our world. And half these folks just raise their hand because... I said raise your hand. I know Blackwell doesn't know a famous doctor or a scientist. But now, I said to the fellows, that shows a condition. Now, by the way, 50 years ago, we could have done that. Everybody knew Jonas Salk. Before that, everybody knew Louis Pasteur. Everybody knew the Mayo doctors that founded Mayo Clinic. It shows the deterioration of our country. Do you know that the best known face in the world today is Michael Jordan? Would somebody tell me what he's done for the world? What a sad commentary. How many of you, now be honest now, I know you don't listen to rock music, but my hand is already up. How many could give me the name of a famous rock star? My hand's up, could you? That shows. Here's a guy that can gyrate like a snake in a rainstorm. And ruin the character and morals and decency of a generation. And everybody can give their names. Here's a man who's a scientist that's trying to improve our manner of life. A doctor trying to save our lives. And that's not very famous anymore. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. with all thy getting, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get wisdom. If I could tonight, I would force everybody in this room under 35 years of age to get this tape. And I would force you to listen to every statement. I'd force you to turn it on to one statement I'm going to make and just then turn it off and think about that statement for about 2 minutes. Then turn to the next one. I'm going to give you about 70 or 75 statements tonight about wisdom that every one of you, especially young people, ought to study. It's tragic. Our world is talent crazy and wisdom famine. I mean, wisdom means nothing anymore. If you can shoot a ball, Michael Jordan is famous. But nobody's famous in the world for wisdom anymore. Nobody. Oh, don't misunderstand me. It may be that a preacher like me had been known in a certain circle of Baptist people all over the world, and there's somebody in every country in the world knows who I am. But I'm not known by the public in general around the world, and neither is any other person, a fundamentalist, at all. Now, I want you to listen to me tonight. I'd like for you to get every word I say and every statement I make as I talk to you about wisdom. In all thy getting, get wisdom. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing. That's all I want. Help me to be that tonight. I pray that some young preacher will have his life totally transformed. I pray that some young person will change his sense of values. And I pray that all of us will have a hunger to get wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I did not prepare this sermon tonight for you. I would say that most of my working hours are spent preparing Bible studies and sermons for you. If I have, and you know this, if I have 10 minutes between appointments in my office, I take that, I grab my Bible and my Greek New Testament, and I start studying. However, this sermon tonight was not prepared for you at all. I've only preached it one time, and it was preached to one person, one morning. And tonight I preach it to a congregation for the first time. But this outline was made through the night one night for one person. I preached it to that one person the next morning, and I share it with you tonight. I was in a distant city preaching. I finished preaching the sermon that night, and I was fellowshipping for a while on the platform. And a young man who was a young preacher, a pastor, by the way, a young pastor, probably 24, 25 years of age. And he came to see me and asked me to sign his Bible. And then he said, "Dr. Hiles, before I leave, I want to ask you to do something for me." I said, "What is that, son?" He said, and I quote now, "Would you lay your hands on me and ask God to give me your wisdom? Would you lay your hands on me and ask God to give me your wisdom?" I said to him, "I give you what I gave him the next morning," because I felt he had potential. I felt the young man could do something big for God, and I wanted to invest in him. And I spent, half the night at least, preparing what I'm going to give you tonight. And I said, "Son," I said, "there was good and bad in your request. I said, the good in your request is that wisdom is a worthy desire. For you to want wisdom is a worthy desire." Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Did you hear that? Wisdom is the principal thing. Doesn't say talent is the principal thing. Doesn't say ability is the principal thing. Doesn't say charisma is the principal thing. Doesn't say personality is the principal thing. It says wisdom is, not doesn't say it's a principal thing. Doesn't say one of the principal things. It says wisdom is the principal thing.
Proverbs 2:2.
Incline thine ear unto wisdom. That means you're supposed to shut up, young folks, and listen to me tonight. That's what it means. Incline, old folks too, incline thine ear unto wisdom. Proverbs 4:7. With all thy getting, get understanding, or, if you please, wisdom. Proverbs 4:5. Get wisdom, forget it not. Proverbs 8:5. Understand wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? My definition of wisdom is the sense to use knowledge properly. A man that goes to college and university comes out saying that man came from a monkey. He doesn't have wisdom because he's got a bunch of knowledge he doesn't know how to use. It's the it is the practice or the sixth sense to use knowledge wisely. Proverbs 8:5, understand wisdom. Proverbs 16:16, get this now. Better it is to get wisdom than gold. That means what I'm going to give you tonight is more important than money. That means that wisdom is more important than your check. It's more important than your income. It's more important than you getting rich. Wisdom is better, God says, to get than gold. Proverbs 4:7, as I said a while ago, wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who findeth wisdom. Doesn't say he stumbles on it, says he finds it. That means he's looking for it. You don't get wisdom accidentally. You get wisdom on purpose because you're looking for it and seeking it. And then in Proverbs 19:8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. Luke 2:2, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in wisdom. Didn't say he got it all at one time. He said he increased in wisdom and in stature. He grew in wisdom just like he grew physically, if you please. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 3:21, keep sound wisdom. And in Proverbs 7:4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And so I said to this young man the next morning, I said, son, first thing I want to say to you is you have desired a good thing. I want you to keep that desire. I want the desire of your life to be wisdom. I said to him, I said to you, there are three things that have topped my prayer list for good night 40 years, I guess. Power, wisdom, and love. Those three things, to me, are the most important things that a Christian can have. Power, wisdom, and love. Luke 2:40, Jesus was filled with wisdom. Acts 6:3, when they chose the first deacons, it said, choose you out seven men of a lot of money in the bank. The average church chooses deacons because they got money, because they got prestige, because they got fame, because they're important. Let me tell you something. The deacons of First Baptist Church include a cross-section of the people that sit in these pews tonight. But it says that choose out seven men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now hear me carefully. Talent runs from wisdom. Wisdom always seeks talent. If you are what you ought to be, you will learn what you ought to learn. If you're trying to be talented and have a lot of talent, you don't need wisdom because you can make it on your own. You folks that have, by nature, you have a good voice. If you don't want to practice, you don't have to practice. But there's some people that have to practice their songs, and that's wisdom and character. I say talent runs from wisdom. Wisdom seeks talent. Statement. Talent is only a soloist. I'm not criticizing soloists tonight. Wisdom can sing in groups. Talent seeks to counsel. Wisdom seeks counsel. Talent is trying to find somebody that you can tell what you know to. Wisdom is trying to find somebody who can tell you what they know. I wish I could get all of you to study each one of these statements. Talent seeks applause. Wisdom applauds. Talent changes truth. Wisdom is changed by truth. Not a bunch of cute little preachers running up and down the country trying to think of new ways to get the work of the Lord done, when they ought to have enough sense to know that God knew what the ways to get it done in the book. But these are talented. These are men of charisma. These are talented men. These are men that have good personalities. And so they want to find some new way. But character and wisdom is changed by truth. Talent, get this, talent puts beauty on the face. Wisdom makes a beautiful face. She won't like me saying this, but my wife is going to be 70 next Sunday. I'd be ashamed if I were some of you little girls tonight at 17, 18 years old because of your bitter spirit and your know-it-all look are not near as beautiful as a 70-year-old woman. I'd be ashamed. Let me say it again. Talent puts beauty on the face. Wisdom makes a beautiful face. Talent charts a path. Wisdom travels a proven path. Talent pulls you toward the top. Wisdom pushes you to the top. Talent yearns for praise. Wisdom yearns to praise. Let me say it again. Talent yearns for praise. Wisdom yearns to praise. Talent yearns for love. Wisdom yearns to love. Talent says, I want to be loved. Wisdom says, I want to love. Talent is fear of failure. Wisdom is fear of lack of preparation. Talent says, I don't want to fail. Wisdom says, I want to prepare and I won't fail. Talent is an impromptu speech. Wisdom is a planned, studied presentation. Talent is that young, as that preacher somewhere tonight, preaching across the country to a handful of people, with a few little funny stories and a few little things that he thinks of while he's preaching, or somebody else's warmed over sermon. Wisdom is a fella taking hour upon hour upon hour to try to prepare this sermon for one young man who had possibilities. Talent puts rose on your cheek. Wisdom puts rose in your cheek. Talent uses. Wisdom is used. Talent makes daily decisions. Get this now. Talent makes daily decisions. Wisdom makes lifelong principles that make your decisions for you. Talent says, what will I do about this? Wisdom says, what will my principles allow me to do about this? We have a generation of people every day make a bunch. I hardly ever make a decision. I decided years ago some principles to live by, and those principles make my decisions for me. And that's why there's no need for you to come to me and say, you mistreated my daughter, because I don't think I mistreated your daughter, because I did what I thought was right concerning your daughter or your son. I don't look at a situation and say, this is what I think ought to be done. No, I say, what have I lived by all these years, and what are principles I've lived by? And some of you folks need to get some principles you'd live for and die for. Talent rules subjects. Wisdom rules rulers. Talent seeks promotion. Wisdom promotes. Talent loves the lovable. Wisdom loves what God commands us to love. Do you hear what I said? Talent loves that which is loving or lovable. But wisdom loves those whom God says to love. For example, God says, husbands, love your wives. Didn't say love your pretty wife, said love your wife. Didn't say love your skinny wife, says love your wife. Love her when she weighs 120 pounds and love her when she waddles while she walks and talks. Talent seeks beauty. Wisdom is beauty. You girls, listen to me. We've been kidding an awful lot about the banquet tomorrow night. You girls, listen to me. You can buy all the Helen Curtis you want to buy, and all the Avon you want to buy, all the makeup you want to buy, all the eyeshadow you want to buy, fix your hair, either curl it, or I call it, when our granddaughter wears it, like, you know, where it looks like it hadn't been dried yet. You know, I said, didn't get to dry your hair, did you? Go ahead and sit in front of that mirror. Listen, hey, I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. I got something to say. I'm not up here to make a few bucks. I'm up here to change your life, and you need a change. Listen to me. You can sit in front of that little mirror all you want to and pull that powder on your face and pancake and makeup and waffles and all the rest of it on your face. And you can curl that hair and all you want to, and you can get all the pretty dresses. But I want to tell you something tonight. There is not a beauty aid in this world that will take the place of a blush, a sweet look, an innocent countenance, and a godly life. And some of you gals that think you're pretty, you're ugly as a mud fence. Talent puts beauty on the eye. Wisdom puts beauty in the eye. Talent rejoices now and pays later. Wisdom pays now and rejoices later. Talent rejoices in report card. And by the way, there's far too much emphasis placed on report cards. If some of you parents get more concerned about your children behaving in Sunday school and less concerned about what the kind of grade they get on a report card, we'd turn out some better kids. Now, don't you whine at me and don't you write me a little note, because I won't read it. Bless God, it's time we stood shoulder to shoulder and made some young people with character and discipline and wisdom. Talent is concerned about the grade on a report card. Wisdom is concerned about study in the study hall. Talent rejoices in the dining room. Wisdom rejoices in the kitchen. Talent rejoices about preaching a sermon in the pulpit. Wisdom rejoices about preparing that sermon in the study. Talent rejoices about recital. And wisdom rejoices about practicing when you're by yourself and there's nobody there to give you an applause. Boy, this is good. Talent acquires. Wisdom possesses. Talent spends tomorrow today. Wisdom saves today until tomorrow. Talent runs the 100-yard dash. Wisdom runs the marathon. Talent seeks thrills. Wisdom seeks priorities. Talent cannot stand alone but does. Wisdom can stand alone but doesn't. Hear what I said? I said talent cannot stand alone, but does. Wisdom can stand alone, but doesn't. Talent is inspirational. Don't leave me now. Talent is inspirational. Wisdom is intentional. Talent is loyal to feeling. Wisdom is loyal to principles. Talent needs self-gratification. Wisdom needs self-satisfaction. Talent needs spectators. Wisdom performs just as well alone. Talent sees through its own eyes. Wisdom sees through God's eyes. Talent says, it seems to me. Wisdom says, it God has spoken. Talent says, this is my opinion. Wisdom says, this is God's opinion. Talent does right by reasoning. Wisdom does right by reflex. Talent feeds on praise. Wisdom feeds on duty. Talent is advertisement. Wisdom is the merchandise. Talent is the sign. Wisdom is the store. Talent wants praise. Wisdom gives praise. Talent is external paint on the car, and wisdom is internal grease inside the car. Talent moves. Wisdom stays. Talent loves beauty. Wisdom is beauty. Talent loves his attractive friend. Wisdom loves his unattractive sister. I'm not nothing personal there. If you love your school friend,
more than you love your mom and dad, you're as wicked as Adolf Hitler. Young people, you listen to me. It's not as important that you learn to play the piano. It's important that you learn to practice the piano. It's not important that you... The most important thing about basketball is not you being on the all-tournament team. It's you being the fella who, by discipline and character, rises to as high a level as you can. And by the way, some of these substitutes who are not natural athletes, who've studied and worked and worked and worked to become scrubs or on the second team in the sight of God, are more important than you fellows with natural talent on the first team. I'm trying to tell you what you ought to do is say, by the grace of God, it's wisdom I want and not talent. Talent spins the future. Wisdom prepares for the future. Talent performs on the stage. Wisdom built the stage. Talent performs. Wisdom produces. Talent seeks attention. Wisdom pays attention. Did you hear that, misbehaving young people? Talent seeks attention. Wisdom pays attention. Talent plays before people. Wisdom can work alone. Talent is the dessert. Wisdom is the vegetable. Talent travels on a highway. Wisdom builds the highway. Talent seeks a grade. Wisdom seeks knowledge. And by the way, what your child learns is more important than what's on that report card. Don't misunderstand me. I'm for making as good a grade as you can. But in the first place, sometimes a report card is a sign that the teacher is not quite as proficient. Sometimes a report card is a sign that the test is a bit harder. And by the way, in some teachers at Howells Anderson College have an A is from 95 and up, and some teachers from 90 and up is an A. I'm saying I'd rather you get the knowledge and make a B than cheat on the test from somebody else's paper and get an A on your report card. I'm saying knowledge works for a diploma. Wisdom works for truth. Wisdom is trying to gather all the knowledge you can while you're in Howells Anderson College. And talent is trying to get your diploma so you have a union card to go out and do something for God. But I don't care, brother, you can have that union card. You better be able to fix the plumbing or you're not going to make it. Talent seeks prosperity. Wisdom seeks success. Talent is the convertible. Wisdom is the Jeep Ranger. Talent is the facade. Wisdom is the substance. Talent is inspiration. Wisdom is enduring. Talent is the tuxedo. Wisdom, the work clothes. Talent is a prancing pony. Wisdom is a plowing mule. Talent gets a job. Wisdom keeps the job. Talent is a starter in the car. Wisdom is the transmission. Talent starts. Wisdom finishes. Talent is the muddy pond. Wisdom is the flowing spring. Talent operates on instinct. Wisdom operates on schedule. I said wisdom operates on schedule. Talent is interested in how it turns out. Wisdom is interested in what it turns in. Talent is a pretty boy. Wisdom is a good boy. Talent is a Don Juan. Wisdom is the Apostle John. Talent is popularity kid. Wisdom is a working kid. Talent is convenience. Wisdom is conviction. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of these is wisdom. It's better than gold. It's better than reputation. It's better than talent. It's better than ability. It's better than looks. It's better than physique. It's better than impressiveness. It's better than charisma. It's better than personality. Wisdom is the principal thing. And listen, young folks, I'm preaching to you. Hey, young people. Hey, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Hey, you right there. I'm preaching to you. Shut up and listen to me. I said wisdom pays attention. And puckos misbehave during the service. And brother, I've declared war on you misbehaving teenagers. I've declared war. You need what this old man is saying up here in this pulpit. You can listen to all Michael or Jagger, what it is, Andre Jagger, Michael Jagger. I don't know what his first name is. You can listen to all the Rolling Stones. Bless God. You better thank God for the stone that was rolled away 2,000 years ago. You can get your popularity and your talent. What you better do is you better get some wisdom while you're here to face life and be a success, because you're going to fall flat on your face unless you realize wisdom is the principal thing. Now, son, all these things I told this guy. I was trying to invest in him. I felt like he had some potential. So I spent about an hour the next day reading to him what I just read to you. I said, son, that's the good. You're wanting something that's wonderful to want. You're wanting something that you should want. Now the bad thing is, you can't get it by me putting my hands on your head. Would you put your hands on my head and pray for me to give, to have your wisdom? I'm sorry, but wisdom is not a fast food hamburger you get by driving through McDonald's. I said, son, for 51 years, I've been asking God for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But that word ask is linear. That if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and 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 ask of God. I said, son, for 51 years, I've been asking God for wisdom. Sorry, son, it's not that easy me to put my hands on your head and you to get the wisdom I've been begging God for 51 years. I said, son, I have read Proverbs every day for 51 years. At least once a week, I read all of Proverbs. Sometimes I read Proverbs in one day. You say, Brother House, how can you read Proverbs in one day? 2 hours. That's two-thirds of a basketball game. 2 hours. That's two talk shows. At least once a week, I read all of Proverbs. Sometimes I read it all in one day. I said, sorry, son. I've been reading Proverbs, the wisdom book in the Bible, 51 years. At least once a week, many times one day. Sorry, son, it's not that easy. I can't place my hand on your head and transfer to you the wisdom I prayed for 51 years and the proverb wisdom I've tried to get by reading Proverbs at least once a week for 51 years. I'm sorry, son, it's not that easy. Not only that, son, when I was your age, I read biographies of great Christians and still do. I wanted to get from their lives, their wisdom. I read the biography of Charles G. Finney, Dwight Moody, Goforth of China, John and Betty Stamm, Ann Judson, Adoniram Judson, Charles Spurgeon, David Livingston, Billy Sunday, Pray and Hyde, William Carey, John Wesley, George Whitfield, John Bunyan, and many others. And by the way, I was 21 and 22 and 23 years old, and I did not read Sports Illustrated, and I did not read the Sporting News, and I did not read the Baseball Weekly or the Football Monthly. And some of you guys, if you're going to be preachers, in God's name, put down those things and get in the Bible and live in the Word of God. Son, I'm sorry. I cannot give you, by placing my hand on you for 60 seconds and praying a prayer, what it took me 51 years of prayer to get, 51 years of reading the Proverbs every week to get, and a lifetime spent in reading the biographies of great men. I said, son, I studied older men when I was your age. I had them preach for me. My pastor, J.C. Sizemore. His pastor, 80-some-odd years of age, George Schaefer. Bob Jones Sr., John R. Rice, R.G. Lee. I went to see them. The missionary Gustave Norling, missionary to Norway. Every Friday afternoon, I went out there while the rest of the guys in East Texas Baptist College were shooting baskets on the gymnasium floor. I was sitting out there beside the bed of an old warrior of the gospel named Gustave Norling, the missionary to China. He was now to Norway, over 90 years of age. Why? Because I wanted knowledge. You flip about shooting a basket. I wanted to have some wisdom, and I got it from these old men of God.
Sorry, fella, I said. I can't give you, in 60 seconds, by placing my hand on you, what I've prayed for 51 years, what I've gotten from reading the Proverbs every day for 51 years, and at least once a week for 51 years, what I've gotten reading the biographies of great Christians like Finney, Moody, Goforth of China, Johnny, Betty, Stamm, and Judson, and so forth, and what I've gotten from studying these great old men who were alive when I was a young preacher. I can't give it to you. I said, son, I have read probably 300 biographies of wise men. I have read the book of Proverbs over 3,000 times. I have spent over 30,000 hours trying to get wisdom, seeking wisdom, searching for wisdom, praying for wisdom over 30,000 hours, and you want to get it in 60 seconds. It just doesn't come that way. Then I said to him in closing, why don't you, after I pray for you, find Michael Jordan. Ask him to place his hand on you and make you an all-American basketball player. Though I'm not a great fan of Michael Jordan, I'll tell you one thing, brother. He didn't become what he is by saying, somebody lay your hands on me. Boy, I'd like to lay my hands on some of you punks. Both of them, around your neck. And shake some sense in your head. Wisdom is the principal thing. Not popularity the principal thing. Not talent the principal thing. Not athletics the principal thing. Not your pretty face the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. I said, after you ask Michael Jordan to lay his hands on you, then try Sammy Sosa. Ask Sammy Sosa to lay his hands on you, and maybe you can hit 66 home runs next year in the big leagues. Didn't come that way. It came when Sammy Sosa was a poor shine boy down in the Dominican Republic, picking up a piece of stick for a bat and some rocks for a ball, like all of us poor kids have done in years gone by, and day after day, week after week, month after month, you're studying great hitters, studying Ted Williams, studying Stan Musial, studying Hank Greenberg, studying Hank Aaron, studying great hitters, day after day after day. And I said, then go to Arnold Palmer, let him lay his hands on you, and maybe you can shoot a subpar golf. Then go to Mayo Clinic, to the doctors up there. Let them lay their hands on you, and maybe you can be a brain surgeon. A surgery you won't have any problem with, because you don't have the necessary organ to have brain surgery. Then go to Dr. Geergos. Have him lay his hands on you, and you'll become a great open heart surgeon in 60 seconds. Then go to Dr. Evans and ask him to lay hands on you, and you'll learn all the history that he knows in 60 seconds. And then go to Perry Como and let him lay hands on you, and you'll be a famous singer. And then go to Dr. Cowling and let him lay hands on you, and you'll be a scientist. No, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. And you get it by begging for it, pleading for it, staying around people that have it, read about people that have it, learn about people that have it, day after day after day after. You say, what do I need it for? Tell you what you need it for. There are people you're going to serve one of these days, and they need you to have wisdom. I said, son, I want to pray for you. I got on my knees, he got on his. And I said, dear God, give this young man the character
perseverance, guts, tenacity, and common sense to search out a lifetime for wisdom. You can't transfer it, but you can try to teach people the character to where they'll search for it and get it. Wisdom. You don't get wisdom from watching Jerry Springer. Springer, whatever it is. Is that his name? What? You knew. You don't get wisdom watching Jerry Springer. You get illicit passion watching Jerry Springer. You get a wasted life watching. Turn that stupid box off and open the book! The young man looked up at me and said, Dr. Hiles, I never had such a thrashing in my life. Nobody's ever talked to me like that. And I said, that's your problem. Nobody's ever talked to you like that. And that's why you think you can drive up and order wisdom and then get it at the drive-in counter or window. But you don't do it that way. You spend a lifetime searching for wisdom. Wait a minute, and I'm through. What do you need wisdom for? I need wisdom to help train these men. If it dawned on you, these guys, most of them are just young guys, teenagers, or bare. You were a teenager, I guess. You were a teenager. Well, where'd these guys learn what they've learned? I didn't teach it to them, but I taught them where to search for it. There are people that need you. And some of you parents, you need to start searching for wisdom less, or more, and less for who's going to win the NBA championship. Anybody know who won the NBA championship the last year Billy Sunday had his great revival? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You've got some people that call you daddy and mama. You need wisdom. And you won't get it following the habits of this old sin-cursed, godless world. Stinking Hollywood whores, and you watch them more than you watch the pages of God's book. And you spend more time, some of you folks, reading the stupid, dirty, filthy, rotten Esquire magazine and the Star and all that stuff, more time reading that than you do. Go to the library somewhere and get you some books about the life of Billy Sunday or Dwight Moody or Charles Haddon Spurgeon or Adoniram Judson or Anne of Ava Ann Judson and walk with these saints of God who had wisdom, and you'll have wisdom enough then to make the right decision, but you won't get it following the course of this old godless world. Our Heavenly Father, my heart hurts tonight because of, not because of the world,